we as black and brown girls are adultified at a very young age. Through studies and data, which Measure collects, it shows that as young as age 5, they are implying or treating us as adults rather than allowing us to be children. So by you saying, oh, you know, you moving too fast, or even with what your attire, how you're presenting yourself, you're wanting me to be presented as a grown-up rather than addressing me as a child.
Wow. I never thought of that, though. But that's something that happens throughout pretty much, you know, especially in the black community, right?
Absolutely.
And so how do we train? So is this more about teaching parents or adults how to talk to their children?
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor, and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
We are coming to you live from Houston Tillerson University in the heart of downtown Austin, Texas, for another thought-provoking episode of a Black Executive Perspective podcast, a safe space where we discuss all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris P. Reed. And we're here at the HBCU AI Conference 2026 to talk to innovative, exciting, and forward-thinking leaders. Who we have with us today is Dr. Gabrielle Wallace and Brittany Morita. These leaders are responsible for AI and social impact at Measure. Dr. Gabrielle Wallace and Brittany Morita are leaders at Measure, where they focus on responsible AI, data ethics, and social impact of emerging technologies. Dr. Wallace brings a background in education and research on systems bias, while Brittany worked examining adultification bias and the protection of black girls, helping organizations better understand how bias shapes policies, technology, and real-world outcomes. Both of you, welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Wow. I mean, so we go through your backgrounds. It's fantastic what you guys are doing at Measure. So we're very excited to have you on the show so we can dive in a little deep. But before we get into the heavy stuff, number one, you guys look awesome. All right.
You guys look really,
bro, you kidding me? Right?
I felt bad.
We got to dress up, right? Oh, my God, right? But no, you guys look great. So before we get into the heavy stuff, why don't we tell us a little bit about where you're from originally and a little bit about your family. Dr. Wallace, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I am a Dallas, Texas native, and I come from a family of entrepreneurs. And these aren't just any entrepreneurs. These are the entrepreneurs who fought for the rights of their patients at their clinic in D.C., and that has influenced me ever since. And they also believed in child labor, so I was working for them by 10 years old. Okay.
And then any kids or husband, anything like that?
No, but I am the favorite auntie, according to my oldest nephew.
Okay. That's all you need. So that, I mean, bro, stop, right? And Brittany?
My name is Brittany Morita. I am a mom. I have an 8-year-old daughter, and I am actually a unicorn of Austin, Texas, born and raised alongside of my family. Same bloodline of entrepreneurs. My dad owned a well-known catering business here in Austin, so that energy just kind of poured over and instilled in me, and I wanted to be in the mix at a very young age, and that's just kind of led me onto this new journey and chapter of my life. So
we're excited to meet innovative individuals like you, but you guys represent Measure. Can you give us a little bit about what Measure does and how it incorporates in what we have here this week?
Absolutely. So I am the Director of Community Engagement for Measure. I'm kind of the new face of Measure. So for me, I tend to do a lot of community engagement, adultification, bias training, where we are talking about the protection of our black and brown girls.
Awesome. Dr. Wallace?
Yeah, and for me, I'm the Director of Research at Measure. So on our side of the house, we take community lived experience and we turn that into impact storytelling. That's a nice way to say that we do research and data activism. And we do it different than anybody else because we root it in what the community believes and what they want.
Got it. You know, one of the things, number one, what you guys are doing are fantastic. Brittany, I'm going to come to you just so everybody's on the same page. When we say adultification, what specifically is adultification?
It is bringing awareness to how especially as a mother of a black and brown girl. Have you ever heard your aunt or your cousin say, oh, that girl fast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's back in the day. They used to say that,
right? You're moving fast, right? Well, that's you're adultifying them by saying that.
Okay.
We as black and brown girls are adultified at a very young age. Through studies and data, which Measure collects, it shows that as young as age 5, they are implying or treating us as adults rather than allowing us to be children. So by you saying, oh, you know, you're moving too fast, or even with what your attire, how you're presenting yourself, you're wanting me to be presented as a grown-up rather than addressing me as a child.
Wow. I never thought of that, though. Yeah. But that's something that happens throughout pretty much, you know, especially in the Black community, right?
Absolutely.
And so how do we train? So is this more about teaching parents or adults how to talk to their children? Tell me a little bit more about that.
It's actually for social awareness. Okay. So we combine with community, churches, different organizations, universities such as this, right? We're going to pull in your community as a collective and educate them on bringing awareness and social awareness to how we use our words or how we frame the work, right? Mm. Around how we're raising our children in improper ways. But bring, like, for example, when you go to a swimming pool, you'll see a lot of white kids in two pieces, right? Mm-hmm. And no one's saying nothing. Mm-hmm. But we all know Black and brown girls, we start off different. Mm-hmm. So we're told at the age of 5, 6, 7, you need to put that baby on a one piece because of how she's built. You're adultifying her. She's still a child. She's innocent. You don't have to bring awareness to her body because she's just a baby.
Wow.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Wallace. In the concept of addressing the community and educating the community, how do you then affect the social influences or social media influences that impose upon children outside of people that they may be around? Or is that something that we couldn't really worry about? We have to just stick with the people that are in front of them.
No, we absolutely need to worry about that. Right. Yeah. Just like Brittany was giving the example of, oh, that girl is fast, or wear the two-piece swimming suit. Those same people are the ones creating our content. Mm-hmm. They're also the people who are creating our technology. So when they're putting those things out in the atmosphere, those biases go with them. So at Measure, what we do is we interrogate that. We make sure we question who made these decisions, who created that. So whether it's social media or whether it's AI, we're making sure that people have that social awareness that they need, as well as the literacy to really have that conversation that's crucial.
Follow-up question on that, because we had Johnny Austin that was on earlier, and we talked about bias in AI, right? And, you know, he was describing, like, when you first start working with AI, it's a general setup, right? But it's set up, but not people that look like us, okay? So can you speak a little bit to, like, bias in AI and what that bias is and how harmful it could be in terms of brown and black people?
Yeah, and I'm going to speak from the concept that there's a human in the loop, which means there's a person who's making these decisions, who's creating the technology, or they're even sitting at the computer saying, oh, that's bias, we should throw that out. But who gets to decide that? Mm-hmm. Who is that person? So we talk about community in the loop. Is it tied to our values? Is it tied to what we believe? And taking out the biases that way, so the community has control over the governance. Because right now, there's no real rules to AI. So right now, the community has every opportunity to decide, this is what we believe AI should do for us, not what we should do for AI.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, Brittany. As far as people who are influencing young black girls, teachers, school administrations, things of that nature, what is their responsibility as far as you're concerned in making sure that they propagate the message that you guys have here? And does that start with influencing them directly, or does it start with their education, meaning you start at the colleges where they're being taught and they take it on into their careers?
I think it goes a little deeper than that. It really starts at home, right? It's the parents. And then from the parents, then it goes to the educators. When you break into the systems, a lot of the people that are getting in trouble, it's the black and brown kids, right? And then specifically girls, because they're already treating you different from your peers. Mm-hmm. And so I think bringing that awareness, so teaching this in churches, because especially for African-American community, the church is kind of like the heart of the community, right? So bringing that awareness to how we're able to align and coexist as we're raising these girls into this community, that it's okay to be yourself. You don't have to feel older than you are. You don't have to dress a certain way. It's okay. You're innocent. You're still a child.
Can I add to
that? Yeah, please.
Yeah, so I'm also a former school principal, now a researcher. And so from that perspective, we're not talking about two different issues, AI mm-hmm. or adultification bias. They're two sides to the same issue. Okay. It's really looking at what does our community understand and how are they empowered mm-hmm. to make changes that are better, not only for our children, but all of our children at the same mm-hmm. time. So when we talk about how do we influence the educator, the parent, and all of that, it really starts with, do they even understand the problem?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
Right.
Do they know the problem exists?
Because to be Absolutely. Fair, when you just said that example about she's fast, well, okay, I didn't even think it was an issue with
Absolutely.
That. Right?
You heard that.
And then, a million
times.
And so yeah. that's just one thing. Absolutely. There's millions of things that we're saying and yeah. not aware of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right? Let me ask you this. So your company is called Measure, right? And so how are you guys, so let's back up for a second, because one of the things that we're struggling with as Black and brown people when it comes to AI is getting people engaged, not just dabbling, but actually using AI on a continuous basis, right? Mm-hmm. And not shying away from it. And so what I want to ask you guys real quick is, what's your thoughts? And I'll start with you, Dr. Wallace. So the people out there that's watching and listening, who may not be using AI right now, mm-hmm. they're seeing us here at this conference, right? They're like, oh, it's AI conference? What is that about, right? Mm-hmm. And even in hearing that, they may think that they're so far behind because there's an AI conference, they got all these things, and they're seeing all these news clippings and stuff on television about AI. How do they get started, okay, mm-hmm. from day one? This is the first day, right? What would you recommend, and I'd like to hear from both of you, what would you recommend for them to get started, and how do they keep it going? And then more importantly, what's the positive effect that they're going to get out of it? Start with you, Dr. Wallace.
I'm actually going to pivot to Brittany because she had a great example with her mother. So could you give that example with your mother when she was, what she said about their data?
Yeah, absolutely. So my mom, old school, right? Why do I need all this? I don't want these people in my business. That's her thing.
And that's where we go though, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And so my first question is, do you have a cell phone? You holding it in your hand while you telling me you don't want these people. They already in your business. they deeper than you think, right?
Right, right.
And so it's like, imagine having these tools and these resources that are available to you to just make things easier or to adapt to where it's going. It's already gone. We just had a robot do a whole introduction.
I know. I just saw
was
the robot,
cool,
right?
Yeah,
he was dancing and waving.
So one thing that Mimi always says is making AI human, like making it feel how this conversation is going. Like, this is us interrogating AI because we're breaking it down to where it's sensible to everyone. So I'm like, do you cook? Do you clean? Do you write papers? Do you have things that you have to do on your day-to-day life? AI is accessible to you to make these things easier for you, right? And not only easier, but like, it's structured just to like give you a stronger capability in the world. You might not have a college degree, but through the use of AI and you breaking it down, you're just as smart. You're just as smart. And it's literally like you're feeding it a conversation. And we were just talking about this, like you can argue with it. I don't like that. Like, let's go back. We can do better than that, right? And so with me, I'm like, this is a power tool. I'm like, you just spent an hour on a document. I spent 5 seconds on the same document.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I want people to start, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding, one, your data is already being collected. So take back power of it. Somebody else is monetizing off of it. Why can't you? The next thing you need to do is become literate and play with the tools. Understand which one makes sense for you. Mm-hmm. Interrogate, does that tool make sense for you? At Measure, we have an AIT. It's an AI interrogation tool that will become an open source soon. And it's for people to see if this is the right tool for us, whether it be at home, whether it be in your company or a large institution. Mm-hmm. We also are building a harm index. So AI has the power to harm us too. That's why you can't argue with it.
So I named my AI chat, but her name is Susan. Okay. All right. And me and Susan go at it every time. I'm like, Susan, what are you doing? You're like, I'm sorry, Tony. I'm like, yeah, you should be sorry. Make this. No, but I hear you. But let me finish your point.
But just like that, you right. should be sorry. So where do you report that to? Nowhere right now. Mm. You can't to Measure though.
Right.
You can say this AI tool has harmed me in this way. It has either hallucinated, it has stereotyped me, or just given me just all types of wrong things. Mm. And then from there, you're empowered to take that conversation to your city government.
Mm.
And speaking of city government, right? We talked about having that community in the loop. Go get involved in your city government. Our company Measure is partnered with the city of Austin. We have community in the loop sessions. So you can come and have a simple conversation around what should the community, how should the community be involved with the creation and use and decisions it's making, because they are making decisions about your life. But you can take back the power on that.
I love that. I love that.
So let me ask you this question, Dr. Wallace. Brittany talked about the efficiency of AI and how it goes from 5 hours to 5 minutes. So if that be the case, then it can spread the adultification bias that much faster.
Exactly.
If allowed. Do you have a situation where I'm looking at you and you, Dr. Wallace, and you was a former black girl. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you were exposed to these things. How did you overcome that without this level of understanding or doctrine that you have now at your...
Because people go to that, right? You know, it's the older generation. Well, it didn't stop me.
Yes,
it didn't bother me, right? So what are you talking about? Now all of a sudden I got to take the word fast out of my conversation, right? You know, and so that's what we do.
Yep.
Not recognizing, even though we did that, it still was wrong.
Right. Absolutely.
And it still had an effect, but we don't think it had an effect.
Absolutely. It definitely has an effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to PWIs, right? Okay. Predominantly white institutions. Yep. So it what I learned was, though, they're picking and choosing who they want to get through the system.
Mm-hmm.
But as somebody who was able to navigate that, I had to challenge it every step of the way. I had to say, wait, something's wrong here. There's a better way to do this. Or what is that called? That's adultification. Is that what I've been experiencing?
Okay, yeah.
Is that what's been happening to me? Because I'm carrying that. So I've always been an advocate along the way. It wasn't just about me trying to make it. It was about this system has to change, and I've been positioned to change it. But the truth is, we're all positioned to change it, because we can't do it without somebody else there with us.
Got it.
Same thing for you, Brittany, because the Bible says you do better when you know better. When did you make that turn and realize, oh, damn, that's what they're calling it?
Raising a little brown girl.
Okay.
I will be honest. Yeah. And the word is still kind of new to me. Okay. I'm not going to lie. And it's unlearning, right, the behaviors and bringing awareness. And I was able to give the swimsuit example, because as a kid, we one piece only, right? You can't wear one piece. Okay. My daughter's in swim lessons. And I initially went straight there.
Absolutely.
And I was like, ooh, did I adultify my baby? You know what I mean? And she's just going to learn how to swim.
That's right.
But it's in those moments. And so I'm unlearning a lot of it, right? And as a black woman, you're taught, like, we all hear this. When you walk out the door, you got three things against you, right? Automatically. And it's like you've heard that all your life. So you have to show up better. You have to do better. You have to be better. White kids not hearing it.
Right.
And if they are, it's not resonating to them the way that it's supposed to resonate to us. And then it's different when you're getting those same responses from people that look like you too.
Right.
Right? So it's like, I expect this from white people, but
it'd be your own people.
Well, it'd be your own people. Yeah.
Well, let's just dive into that real quick. Isn't that so, but wouldn't that have a lot to do with fear of our history, of our daughters? You know, we go back to slavery, right? And you know how the master slept with one of the slaves, and families were separated. So I would think a little bit of that is just being passed down from a protection standpoint. Like, I don't want my daughter to go out when I see her dressed in something that's exposing her, that I'm just afraid. I may not be saying the right words, but I'm afraid that she's going out and exposing herself to a bunch of people out here who, you know, have her looking to do her harm.
Let me add to that, though. But is that also dimming your light or making you insecure or feel inferior about who you naturally are because of the curves and the natural things that you have?
Yeah, I was going to talk about our care model, right? That's something that changed my perspective. It's community, advocacy, resilience, and evidence, right?
Okay.
And in that, we do a historical timeline.
Okay.
So we actually, as a group, go through all the things you just named and say, but how did this have an impact?
Oh.
We don't stop at that happened to them.
Yep.
We go, how did that have an impact, and what are the solutions?
Got
for
it. I love it. I love it. Because we can live off that all day long.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, at some point, I love it. My final question for both of you guys, as you guys know, a Black Executive Perspective podcast, our mission, as we're doing today, is make uncomfortable conversations comfortable. So I'd like to ask and hear from you both. In 2026, what do you think is an uncomfortable conversation that still needs to be had today? I'll start with you, Dr. Wallace.
Especially for protecting Black girls.
Well, I think from all of it is that word interrogation, right?
Okay.
We are scared to interrogate. We ask, oh, what's happening? but we don't say, what can I do? We don't question enough. So are we interrogating this adultification and what AI is going to do to propel that? So let's interrogate.
So when you say interrogate, you don't interrogate everything that we deal with or just certain subject matter?
I think that depends on the individual, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we work with 13 organizations coming up this year. Mm-hmm. They all have a different problem they're going to use mm-hmm. to solve, but they're all using AI to help them solve that problem. And in that, they are interrogating, is this AI helping me solve my problem mm-hmm. or is it making my problem worse?
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. That actually is going to be mine too, interrogating and awareness, okay. right? I think it's just pivotal at this moment. Like, just because somebody tells you something, do your own research. Find out for yourself. You don't have to. And we go against everything. Like, you can tell me the sky is blue. I got to go see it for myself, right? Not just taking what is given to me, but actually finding out for myself. And I think we were kind of raised different. If your mama told you that the green beans was good and eat those green beans,
that was it,
yeah. right? Where we ask our children, what do you want to eat today? And it's kind of deeper than that, but that's just like an example. So like she said, interrogation, I think, is
so those
very
are the
important.
Uncomfortable conversations we need to continue. We need to have in 2026.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I can tell you this. This wasn't an uncomfortable conversation. This was a great conversation with like two great ladies. So we want to thank you both for appearing on the Black Executive Perspective podcast, Dr. Gabrielle Wallace and Brittany Marita, for coming on. And we know that you guys are going to be doing a lot of great stuff here at AICon. So we'll definitely want to see if we can be able to help you guys in any way moving forward. But again, we thank you for coming on and sharing your perspective.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for checking out another episode of a Black Executive Perspective podcast. Like I said earlier, we're going to be here all week and we're going to be having guests like Dr. Wallace and Brittany again. So don't forget to tune in and check us out. For my boy, like I said, he's usually in Dallas, but he's here with me in Austin, the co-host with the most, my man, Chris P. Reed. I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We learned about it. We AI'd about it. We had two great ladies about it. We love you, and guess what? We're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.